Yesterday I was able to do something that I've been planning at least for 2 years, and it just never seems to work out for my time, maybe not necessarily for their time either. But talking to a couple of our members about something that just I always felt like was worthy of our attention and thought, and some might say that this passage reference is a little bit out of context, I will agree. We'll be looking at this passage at the end of the lesson today. But the idea of being equally yoked, as the title today is what that is. Unequally yoked is often what we talk about in the church and in relationships when you have somebody that's maybe married, a non-Christian, and they're always dealing with those situations and what they look forward to and what they get involved in versus what the Christian does. And I certainly was one of those people. I thought I made a right decision on trying to live a life with my wife at the time, and we never got things worked out. And so I just want to mention this to celebrate this couple, but also for you younger people that have been raised up in the church. It's very important for you to look for a wife or a husband that's got an affiliation with the church, if possible. The things that you will plan to do, the things you will do together, the things that you will focus on will be more jointly supported and will certainly be more pleasing to God than if you tried to do something new. You just found somebody that was an attractive person that you think you could fix. That's one thing we adults do often, is talking about what we could fix about somebody. I really like him. I think I could fix this thing. And sometimes you can't. So let's get into the lesson. I think I've just got enough time to deal with what I've got in the PowerPoint, so I'll try not to defer on that. But I think you all enjoy some of the things we've got on here. And what this lesson is about, I've got it called it Equally Yoked. While they may not always be exactly that, they may say that that's not true. As I've got the text on there, it says, the dedication of a husband and wife to each other and to the Lord's church. And I just wanted to take this time to go back and look at this brother and sister of Waynesville that's been so helpful for this congregation over the years. And I referenced Patty. One of the things I was able to do before he passed away, some of you may have known him at Kettering and then later Cornerstone. Dick Kelso used to be one of the elders at Kettering when I was there. Before he passed away, they were able to do kind of a lesson like this, celebrating him and looking at all the things that he did in life. And I think it's important to do these things while we have these people in our lives today, because telling them how much they meant to us can only be done when they're here. And I think often we wait till people have gone to situations where they can't communicate well or not feeling well, or even maybe that life has passed them by, before we can tell them, hey, I love you. And I think that's part of what this lesson is about. So today's lesson is February 16th, 2025. I start off with the passage, and again, I said, this is a little bit out of context, so you can look for these things on your own. The passage is a little bit deeper than that. But it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what has communion what communion has light with darkness? The passage is certainly not about husbands and wives specifically, but we often have derived that from that passage. So today, as I've got on the board, we are going to look at longtime Waynesville Church members and husband and wife, Glendon and Edith Lamb, to learn a little bit more about them, about their efforts to support and sustain this congregation. And so if you look off to your right there, that is Mrs. Lamb and Mr. Lamb. I told Glennon yesterday when I was talking to him, I said, Glennon, I'm not sure if I've ever seen a picture of you without hair. And he smiled about that, but that's probably true. And so these pictures for me, seeing him as a younger man with a full head of hair, he's a pretty handsome guy, and so was Edith, was a pretty attractive young woman back then. So let's go through here. Starting off with Glennon Lamb, I've broken the lesson down. We're going to look at their lives and families. We're for each of them, and then we're going to transition that to their role and some of the support of the church that they did and maybe where they came from. So right off the bat, and again, some of these pictures aren't exactly in line. We had a very limited amount of time yesterday, and I got started a little bit later on my lesson than I had planned to because of the late time it took for Glennon to try to get Edith up and going yesterday, but these pictures I tried to pair up as best I could. Glendon B. Lamb, and I've got the dot on the B. I confirmed with Mike today, we'll see a little bit later, somebody actually said his middle name was B-E-E, like the B that buzzes. But Mike said, nope, his middle name is just B. There's nothing else there. So Glennon B. Lamb, he was born on January 7th, 1935. And you probably just remember a few weeks ago, Glennon was talking about that and often brings up the fact that his birthday was just a day away from Elvis. And so we smile about that too. I'm not sure who the gentleman is in the background there, but that's Glennon in the car. They're in the foreground. His father and mother was Willard and Myrtle Lamb. His siblings, he had a few of them. Glennon was the oldest. His next brother was Jay, followed by Beulah, Lena. I kept having trouble going through that yesterday because they both sound the same. But Lena and Lina. Betty, Russell, Bill, Earl, Marvin, Sharon. And on top of that big long list, there was also a boy and a girl who died at birth. So in total there, you can count up all the siblings that Glennon had. And a lot of these we probably heard mentioned on announcements about some of the things that they may be struggling with or in traveling and doing in town. Also, we've talked about some of the relatives that come here often and who some of those people are related to. Glennon was born in Madison County, Kentucky. If you want to say, well, where in the world is Madison County, Kentucky? This is a Google Map overview. I was trying to do the satellite view, but it was too hard to read. But if you go down there just a little bit south of Lexington, Kentucky, you can see that dot down there is Madison County. So that's where Glennon B. Lamb was born. And you see it was about 2 hours and 20 minutes to get from down there up to where they live now here in Waynesville. That's with modern travel. So that's with 70-mile-an-hour roads, 65-mile-an-hour roads, 55-mile-an-hour roads. That was not the case back when his family first came to the area. So a little bit harder to get around back then. As I've got on there, said Glennon and his family moved to Waynesville, where what is now Caesars Creek Gorge. Patty and I have hiked there a few times. Maybe you've done it as well. One of my favorite trails. Also one of the first trails that Patty saw me slide off of a hill. But it is just off or just southeast of where Caesars Creek empties into Little Miami River and where Glennon was just 2 years old. So if you've ever gone over to Caesars Creek Gorge, there's a place to pull off the road there on Corwin Road. If you're heading south, it's just to the left. Right before you get to the creek, or actually right after you go over the creek, there's a place to park, and then there's a place that you can walk up the hill and around that area. But that entire property was part of what was once the land that Glennon and his family lived on and farmed. And so they lived up there, and as I understood it, Mike, I think, said they farmed the bottom, so the bottom would have been down there closer to the river. But that would have been a neat place to be. And this same map's going to be used later. That's why I've got a pin down there on the bottom. That is not about what we're talking about, but I reused it for later. So, Glennon Lamb married Edith Pearl Charles, as we'll find out later, on February 13th, 1954. If you were here on Wednesday, Glennon said that their anniversary was coming up, and so they were celebrating a number of years together this past Valentine's Day, for that matter. So, interesting too, it makes me smile. Patty and I, we've known each other. We got engaged on Valentine's Day, and then we nearly got married on Valentine's Day, so it's just this timing is always good for me to look at other people. They first got a small house on New Burlington Road, just north of Corwin. So if you know where Corwin is, the cross section there where the bike path is, used to be the railroad tracks years ago. They just had a house just up the road from that. And it was across from the Little Miami Railroad back in the day, which is the bike path now. So you see Mr. Glennon Lamb standing out in their front yard, and across the road there is the bike path. Today, that was the Little Miami Railroad back then. And so Glennon and his family's home that was there by Caesars Creek, and then where they moved to, was on two different sides of that same railroad there. But Glennon, I remember telling me one time he saw an Indian walking down the tracks one day when he was very young. And that's always been interesting to me. And you know how much I love railroads too. They later moved into a property on Lytle Road, just north of Waynesville. I remember this house, and it's unusual to see them at that same house. And it looks nearly the same back then as it does when they were selling that property. But if you go up out of Waynesville, the road splits, and they were off to the left-hand side where Lytle and Ferry split there. That's a modern-day view of their home. So if you drive off there, that's not their property and not their belongings, but that's the home that they once shared together and raised their boys in. And if you want to go where a map is, that's where they live up there. So you have Waynesville down at the bottom. You go up Ferry Road out of Waynesville, also called Dayton Road at the bottom. And then they split off there. So that's where their home was. What were some of the jobs that Glendon Lamb held? Well, he first of all was a seal test dairy delivery guy. As you see on the truck there, you probably would recognize this, but that is not Glendon in the picture. But it was probably a circa era time frame correct seal test milk delivery truck. Glendon said he was not 18 when he was driving that truck, and he even had been pulled over by a police officer one time because there was a light out on his truck, but he was not 18. And so remember, years ago it was a little bit easier for people to do things than it got later on. But when Glendon first started his first job, that's what he was doing off the farm. His next job was Frigidaire. He's actually working at the Delco plant over in Moraine, and he worked there beginning in January 20th, 1954. So just about a month ago, a number of years back, he was working at Frigidaire. I think that we didn't really go into the story there, but he was also saying that Mabel's husband, I think, worked there. Some other friends of Glendon worked there, and so he was able to get that job on. But as with all things Delco related, you see there that I've got the date that he started until layoff. And that's one thing that it seems like with the unions you get is you work until they can't get something they want, and then they lay everybody off, and then they either go to other jobs or they just do nothing until they come back. So it continues on. He worked at Meadow Gold Dairy after that. So started off with Seal Test Dairy, went to Frigidaire, then to Meadow Gold Dairy. He was a delivery driver, legally, the age that we probably would see him today. But his deliveries were in Lebanon, Bellbrook, and Spring Valley. And if you know the area well, you know that that pretty much covers this whole section of Warren and lower Greene County. He went back to Frigidaire. They called him back after the layoff, so he stopped being a delivery driver and went back to Frigidaire. He went back to Meadow Gold Dairy. And then he went back to Frigidaire after he was called back again. And I smile about that, even though it was probably painful for Glendon and Edith. I know when my dad was working in freight, worked for ABF, and it was, seemed like they were always dealing with layoffs and strikes and those kind of things. So then he kept going around. He finally landed at Mound Laboratories. And if you know, Miamisburg was one of the quote-unquote Cold War era nuclear facilities. I think they made triggers for some of the nuclear bombs. And also worked on power generation and things like that. But if you've ever been down there at the time, this picture was probably from the early 70s. This is what the Mound facility looked like. And it maybe you can't really tell how big that facility is there, but if you look up in the top left and the very top of that picture, you can see all those cars parked at different angles. That's how big that facility was. And that wasn't all of it, but that's certainly part of it. And some friends of our family, Satch Cornett was one of those that also worked as a security guard at that same location. So, Edith Lamb, we're going to talk about her for a little bit now. Edith Pearl Charles, that's what Edith's name was before it became Lamb. She was born on August 22nd, 1935. And she was born also in Kentucky, but in Beattyville, Kentucky. So remember where Glendon was at? He was just there where those rivers coalesced there south of Lexington. Well, Edith was just a little bit east and south of where Glendon lived in Beattyville, Kentucky. And as I understand it, and I think I've got a slide on here about that, Edith came to the Waynesville area because Mabel had come to the same area for marriage, I believe. So you'll have to talk to them about all that. I didn't have time to get into all the other family things. Her mom and dad was Alfred and Emma Charles. So again, her last name was Charles. This is a young picture of her. Not sure what the time frame is there, but you may be able to recognize it from that car in the background. Edith's relatives or siblings were Grace, Ursie, Willard, Mabel. Edith was nearly the last one born, and then Alpha. And I think all of us have met most of these people. We go to church with Mabel, and so that shows you the order where they were all born there. But I'm not sure if that's one of the sisters there in the picture. I'm kind of guessing it may be, but you'll have to check with Glendon and ask about that. But I believe that's Edith sitting on the right-hand side of that photo for her graduation. Continuing on, Edith married Glendon on February 13, 1954, as we've talked about. This is not a wedding picture. This was just a cool picture that was in their DVD library. I was wanting some pictures to show all of you guys as they got married and through the time that they were together. And Mike gave me a DVD, and so I made all these screen captures, and I got my lesson started, and I tried to put them into the PowerPoint, and every one of them was gray. And I'm like, oh no, they've been protected for theft. And so I had to run the DVD one more time to pick all these pictures out of there, and I had to use my iPhone to take pictures of my screen. So that's why the quality of these things are not that great, but it made me smile just how I had to try to achieve that. But that's Glenn and Anita there. You might recognize the car in the background. I think it's a Ford Galaxy or a Falcon, but I'm not sure, so I'll let you guys work that out. I know Dad and Mike are probably already talking about it with each other. But that was just a picture of them at the house. I'm guessing that was probably at the house there on Lytle, but again, you'll have to check with them about that. So what were some of Edith's jobs? One of the things I didn't put down on here was the fact, well, we'll get through this list first. First of all, she was a homemaker, raising a family, taking care of the home. She also did home cleaning, and I think most of you that knew about this were aware that she had a pretty exceptional reputation in the area for home cleaning. I think she did a number of doctors and homes for people that were up on the upper echelon of the financial scale, very well rated, very good job, and so obviously her home was pretty well manicured as well. And then at the end I've got there, she was a babysitter too, but there was something else I was thinking about last night that she actually did in between there. Oh, her and Glendon, when they had their homes, when preachers would come to either preach for us as guest speakers, or especially when we had meetings at the building, at the old building, she would fix food for them. She would make sure that they had room and board. They would be taken care of for baths and showers. And she did all that for all of those people. So that's one of the things I meant to put in that list there. I think I kind of touched on it on what we'll see later, but just something for you to be aware of. So now, Glendon Lamon Church. We're going to talk about his religious background. Glendon's family, when they were moved over there off of Caesars Creek on the farm, he attended the Greenbrier Pentecostal Church on Elbon Road near Caesars Creek Soaring Club for several years before the church moved to downtown Corwin. And if I didn't understand this exactly when we were talking yesterday, but it sounded like there may have been two branches of the Pentecostal church that were in the area, and one of them, and not his original congregation there on Elbon Road, had started the congregation in downtown Corwin, and then that congregation, the other congregation, moved in there. So again, something for you to talk to Glendon about later on. But the pen that I had mentioned to you earlier is across Caesars Creek. That's actually where the church was that they attended. And if you know the area, you know where Elbon Road is. You can see it on the map there, Caesars Creek Soaring Club. If you've ever seen gliders flying around Waynesville area, that's where they take off and land. And so I used to like to go up there and watch them do that myself. Continuing on, talking about Glendon's church affiliation. There was one time when they were going to the downtown Corwin church, and he had a pretty big family. Glendon apparently fell asleep either under the pew or off to the side someplace, and the family went home. They didn't have a real far way to go, but they didn't realize he was gone until they got home. And so he had fallen asleep under a pew, so I just thought that was a neat story. So, again, my note for all of you is just check for your kids. Not all of us have got big families, but it's probably a good thing to do. Continuing on, Glendon said he came forward at the assembly of an old Franklin church, not the one that's in Franklin, Ohio now, but the old building, and his family drove him to Waynesville for him to be baptized in March of 58. This building, or the old building in Waynesville, was built in 1955, so that congregation already had the baptismal, and the building was there, but Glendon was visiting over in Franklin, and he was obedient to the call of Christ and was baptized. That baptismal certificate, Glendon didn't take 3 minutes for him to come back to me about that. I said, Glendon, tell me about your baptism. And he goes, well, let me go get something. And he came back in like 2 minutes, and he had this baptismal certificate. So this was, if you look down at the bottom, it was from March 1958, and he's held on to it for all that time. And I told him, I said, when I was baptized, I got a certificate. I don't know where it's at, but I also got a Strong's Concordance. And I always appreciated when churches would do that. We would give them a baptism certificate and give them something that would actually benefit them for study. And I mentioned I was unhappy when Jared was baptized just a few years ago and we didn't have something like this for him. I tried to cobble something together for him, but I think something like this is much nicer to hang on to. But again, just something neat record for him to see. Glendon was baptized by Glenn Begley. If you know Brock Begley, that was his grandfather. Glenn has brought him up a few times before. I guess he was a preacher and also a worker of the Lord in that area. Continuing on, for those that are newer members, maybe you have never seen in our old building, this was the inside of the church at 3rd and Miami Street, over on the other side of Waynesville. It's a house, a residential house now, but you can see that's really from the back corner where the stairway is. So that's the seating capacity, and that was the size of it. I think it was like 40 by 30 was the entire upstairs worship area compared to what we've got now, which I think Nick would have to say, but it's like 60 by 100. But that's where we attended for many years. As I've got off there to the side, Jim Grushon, I've got senior in parentheses because Jim Grushon and his son, neither one are senior and junior. They just have the same first and last name. They helped Glendon with song picking, and I found out, I thought Glendon had been trained by Jim Grushon to sing songs and lead songs. But Glendon pulled out a bunch of books, and he'd actually done a lot of study on his own on how to understand how to read notes, how to pitch songs, and how to lead. And so I was impressed with just hearing that for the first time yesterday. He also helped with the church finances and the leadership while trying to make a living and raise his boys and take care of his wife and home. So, like all of us, we have multiple hats that we all wear as Christians. Talking about Edith Lamb in the church, her Edith's dad had passed away by the time that she was two. Remember, she was one of the youngest in the family, but certainly far too young for her father to have passed. Her father attended a Christian church, as I understand it, previously. Later on, after her dad died, her mom began attending the Church of Christ there in Beattyville. She was baptized at St. Helen's Church of Christ in Beattyville, Kentucky, on Christmas Day around 1956-57 in a local creek. So just interesting there. It made me smile. I remember Ryan's first lesson that he brought to us was about the Christmas holiday, and just thinking about this, it was something I was thinking about. But getting baptized on a cold Christmas day in a local creek doesn't sound very fun, but shows you that people understand what sin is and how important it is to take care of that. I think sometimes these warm waters like we've got back here are too insulating. We don't think about that enough. Next thing I've got on there, and this is the outside of the building at 3rd Miami Street. After following her sister Mabel to Waynesville, Ohio, as I understand it, she attended the Church of Christ located in an old funeral home in Waynesville. The church at 3rd and Miami Street was not built until 55. I had talked to Glenn and Edith about this before, where that funeral home was, and I actually thought it was, when you're going through town, closer to the fence line, thereby where that Stonehouse Tavern is. But Glennon said it was actually not. It was on the west side of Main Street at 3rd Street. And I don't think the building is there anymore. I'm not sure. But that's where the church met until they built this building on the corner of 3rd and Miami Street. In just 5 years, the money borrowed for the church to be built at 3rd and Miami Street was paid back. As you see the date on there for the mortgage note, January 30th, 1960, was when they paid that back. Bill Blackaby was one of the members of the church at that time, and even when I was a member at Waynesville back at the very end of the 90s, Bill was still there and still alive. I guess they had loaned some money to buy the church, or to get the church done, and he needed that money back, and so the mortgage was acquired for that to pay him back, and again, the whole thing was taken care of there, too. So, normal business for buildings to be done, but I just thought it was noteworthy that in 5 years they were able to take care of all that. Some of the names you might recognize down there, James Grushon, Paul Nelson, William Beck, I think that was the Glenn Beck's grandfather that we were talking about, and Charles Thomas. Also, two names on there, Thomas and Grushon Insurance, were two of those people. Thomas is Charles, and Grushon was Jim, also senior, as I had it from before, so that's where that began. Continuing on, Glennon, Edith, Mabel, Virgil, Mabel's husband, some of you may not know, Viola Dakin, a member since passed, she used to be a member of this congregation, the Grushons and the Thomases all lived off of New Burlington Road, just north of Corwin, in a series of small homes just east of Waynesville, Ohio. I put all those addresses on there because Glendon and Edith were trying to remember which house was theirs, and I sent this to Glendon last night, and he said, I can't make it out from those pictures. But if you ever taken Essie home, the house that she lives in with Travis would have been just off to the top right of that image there. Right behind there is a little Miami River, and those are all those little section houses that were all here, probably many of them either built for or in support of the businesses in Corwin, but also for the railroad. But I think some of them, Glenn had mentioned, some of the families did actually build houses there. But if you ever driven by that section, you can see how small those houses were for some of these big families. Church memories. For personal studies and group studies, members use the Jewel Miller film strips to help teach those interested in the church. I tried to dig up some old Jewel Miller stuff. I certainly spelled his name incorrectly until I was doing some research on that yesterday. But that's Mr. Jewel Miller. A lot talked about him on the history of the Restoration Movement. We often think about that as only for the Protestant church or for the some of the other denominations, and that's not necessarily true. The Church of Christ certainly was not part of the Catholic Church or the Church of Rome. We were in protest to that as religious people, and so a lot of our founding fathers, as you want to call them, like Jewel Miller, were also part of that movement. And so, again, we may not have been part of those denominations, but the movement of trying to get away from Catholicism and those kind of things is certainly one of the things that the church, the New Testament church, embraced. Continuing on, though, Desired Waynesville has never had elders or deacons. I didn't remember that. I thought we had had them back when the Thomases and the Grushons were here, but as was pointed out to me yesterday, they were, even though they were helpful for getting the congregation started, they were still all young people and young with young families. And so some of the qualifications for those people weren't there for being elders and deacons. And so that's one of the things that we've always not had and one of the things that we've always wanted. And I pray that our prayers will be answered one day, that we'll have both. Glennon said there were regular meetings of the men on Saturday nights. I don't know if it was weekly or biweekly or monthly. I didn't talk to him about that, but every Saturday night they would meet, going over church business matters and planning for preachers and for members being cared for and dealing with those that had fallen away and all those things. So that's how they did those things at the time. And the congregation tried to have meetings, yearly gospel meetings, at least two a year. And so when they were very vibrant, they were doing that. That's something I hope we can aspire to as well for ourselves. Mike had told me yesterday, as a student in the church at Waynesville, at 3rd Miami, said before the basement had been drywalled for the three classrooms in the nursery that some of us that attended there know about. And Mike said that there were just drapes hanging in the downstairs on the bottoms of the basement floor for class separation. So we've probably been to places like that, especially those of us that are older. It says there were monthly services held at the Old Friends Home, now the Quaker Museum at the top of 3rd Street. Rich Walker would often help with that, even when he came down to preach. And he was attending Waynesville, or Kettering at the time. I was already a member, and Rich did that with me a few times too. Just a short list. These are pretty much preachers of Waynesville since I have been a member here. There's probably two or three times as many over the years that have been supportive of us, either on an ongoing state, a full-time state, or in monthly services like we have typically done. But Abe Martin, Adam Kane, Alan Beck, Albert Dixon, Andrew Kane, Austin Mobley, Ben Berry, Bob Matthews, Brad Beckett, Brian Weaver, Brock Begley, Charles Pike, Chuck Goodall, Cody Kane, Dwayne Greenwood, Eric Reniger, Gary Mobley, Jacob Taylor, Jason Davis, Jason Reeder, Jason Schofield, we seem to have a fondness for Jasons, Jeff Minks, Jeremy Price, Jim Grushon, Jim Lee, Jonathan Compton, Josh Lee, Kevin Kelly, Cody Pritt, Kyle Jones, Mark Birchfield, Marvin Eads, Matthew Allen, Matthew Barnhart, Matthew Bruce, we also like that name, Mike Grushon, Nathan Hall, Owen Thomas, Randy Taylor, Rich Walker, Rob Mahoney, me and Dad, Russ Robbins, Russell Dunaway, Ryan Moreland, Samuel Rilkum, Scott Gravett, Scott Taylor, Stevens Matthews, Wes Grushon, and many more. So I'm sure that list, if we ever added it all up, would be substantial. What I wanted to do on that graphic and on there, while it may frustrate us that we don't have a full-time preacher, and over the lifetime of the congregation, we've not had that. I had talked to Patty about this recently. If you take all these people that have spoken for us and have learned to preach with us, and look at the areas that they've gone to and the congregations are working with, we've been a very important stepping stone for a lot of those people. And I think this congregation has always been very biblically sound. And I think that's been a useful element for those people too. So while we still want a full-time preacher, while we still want elders and deacons, don't dismiss the fact that we have an important part to play in some of these other people's lives. Family, just wrapping this up there, some pictures there. I didn't want to spend time going through all those. There's a lot of pictures on there, but in the top left, that's Glendon and Edith and the boys. I believe, I kept thinking it was Tim and Randy, but I think I was corrected. I think it's Randy and Tim, and then Mike is the boys. Don't have my notes out for me right now, but that should be them. And you see the young Mike, very young compared to the other fellas. But that's the three of them in front of the house there at Lytle Road. Mike with his drumsticks. I think his brother had a picture with a drum kit too, but you'll have to talk to Mike about that. One thing I had forgotten about, Mike said that Glennon and him have been NASCAR fans for many years. Glennon and Mike actually used to go to a lot of NASCAR races together, and Glennon enjoyed that. There's several pictures of him with helmets on or standing on the back of a car hauler, and so you can see him at one of the NASCAR races there in the bottom left. Also, another thing you may not have paid attention to or known about, Edith is very fond of bluegrass music. She used to be a bluegrass singer. And not full-time or professionally, but she would do a lot of that. Maybe one of the boys there of hers on her right, on left of the picture there, but I know that they would do a lot of shows together as a family, and she did love singing bluegrass, so just some things to note about the family. So, transitioning to scriptural considerations for us today. I have this passage at the start. Let's continue going through it. 1 Corinthians 3, 5-17, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds upon it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. We've got some more reading to do, but I wanted to take this moment because this passage is really what was the catalyst for me wanting to do this lesson. Glendon and Edith obviously have been like all of us. They've probably made mistakes. They've probably sinned many times. They've probably struggled as a couple and as parents. But they have done a good job with their support of this congregation over the years. And making bread for the communion, Glendon reminded me, we've gotten spoiled by these communion kits that we do, but the ladies of the congregation used to make bread every Lord's Day, or usually every Saturday, that we could have unleavened bread for the communion. Edith did this by herself for many years, just for the congregation. And so, just things like that, taking care of preachers when they come to town, making sure that the building is prepared, making sure the finances are taken care of, dealing with the members and the situations that they maybe get themselves into, dealing with people in the hospital, dealing with people passing away, people being discouraged, all the things that they have done, just like we try to do today. But they've done it as a couple, they've done it raising children, and they have not given up. Even till now, they still take care of one another. And so I think there's a very important point for us, why Christ and God are always our ultimate goal of trying to live our lives. The dedication and support that Glendon and Edith have done for this congregation, I think is important for us to recognize. And to recognize them and tell them thank you for the love that they've given this church and the love that we've been able to give back to them. We pray that God will reward them one day. We'll continue on with the rest of this passage. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. previously in that passage, it made the point that we have a lot of things, and while God is ultimately the one that takes care of things, we have a role to play. But if we don't do that role, if we aren't participating, then we will be dealt with harshly. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give him the things which you are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But some will say to you, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is a God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only. So important, both of those things combined. Continuing on, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the works is dead also. Again, important for us to look at Glennon and Edith and all the things that they do and they have done in the past. They were working Christians. They believed in God. They supported God. They were trying to be good Christians. But they made sure that they were not just talking about God. They were doing things. And so it's important for us to remember that we all have multiple roles to play. Wrapping this up, in Matthew 25:21, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord. I am not the judge of Glennon and Edith. God is the judge of them. The work that they've done as a couple, the work that they've done as parents, the work that they've done for the church and for the work that they've done, God will deal with that at the end. But from my position, I see two people that were dedicated to God, that were dedicated to serving Him properly, that tried to raise their kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and were not willing to stand down from the things that might have gotten them busy. And I pray that one day God will say to them, well done, good and faithful servants, because that's the people that I see in Glennon and Edith Lamb. If we are doing our best for God, our families, our employers, and our brethren, we should have high hopes for what eternity holds for us. It is worth it. But first, we need to be added to the church. So as we were just about to wrap up the lesson, I have some things for us to think about. For those of you that are not Christians and have been knocking it around for all these years, Acts chapter 8, verse 31 begins, and he said, how can I, talking about the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip was asked to go find, how can I, talking about him reading Isaiah, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is also taken from the earth. The eunuch obviously was scratching his head about this, and he says, and Philip answered and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet, or sorry, the eunuch answered and said, I ask you, whom does this prophet say of this, himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus unto him. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized? Continuing on, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So what's our recipe for success in this story? Seek after the Lord, accept the gift of Jesus, sacrifice and forgiveness through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. Join a God-focused group of believers. Be active in the church. Seek a godly mate to marry. Have children and teach them to follow God. And never quit, no matter what Satan throws at you. I hope that has been useful for you to think about today. I hope maybe you've seen a little glimpse into the lives of Glenn and Edith Lamb, and remember they're a lot like all of us have been in past, and remembering that they've been devoted to God for their whole lives, and we just pray that they will see God one day, and they seem to be on the right track. Maybe we aren't on that track, and as I pointed out there, all the things that we need were in those passages that we read before we talked about Philip and the eunuch. And if we want to answer why we need to be baptized, or is baptism important, that story I think would tell us, not only is it, but it also shows you all the elements that are required. Again, today the congregation is not here because of the weather. I hope those of you that have stayed on Zoom and were able to hear it, I know there were some audio problems earlier for some of you. I hope this lesson has been good. If you're willing to stay on, I'll go ahead and let this run for a little while, and I might even go ahead and turn the audio on here so we could hear what you're talking about. But we do miss you. We're glad that you could join us today, and I hope this lesson has been useful for you spiritually and for the focus on Glennon and Edith.